get familiar with a new college quarterback because he's going to be everywhere. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. His name is DJ Lagway. Sports fans obviously know exactly who he is. He's the Florida quarterback, but Pearl, he is the guy now after SEC Media Days had now been wrapped. The SEC has a lot of really strong quarterback talent this year. Maybe the best quarterback in the country might be in the ACC, though, and Kate Klubnik from Clemson. But DJ Lagway is now the new guy on the rocket ship.
Well, like Kate Klubnik, a number one overall recruit. You know what's interesting about him is he's gigantic. He's so big. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a 1-2 situation with him and Arch. I think it's going to be, I would say like Peyton Manning, because he's not draft eligible this year, but next year, same. And I assume Arch, everyone thinks will stay 2 years. They feel like they are linked together too, in a sense, like Lagway down in Florida, Arch in Texas. The only problem is the team might not be that good. So that is the issue, right? Like that's what happened to him last year. Like he came out as a true freshman and he played really well, but the Gators that good. That's the problem.
Well, they started to turn it on a little bit at the end of the season. So let's hear from Gators head coach Billy Napier. Says DJ Lagway showed a lot of promise at the end of year one, and now year two will be even better.
I think his ability to block out all the external factors and really get consumed with leading the team, playing, winning football, executing. And we built around the guy. There's no question. Players want to play with DJ.
So that's Billy Napier saying we actually do have the right team around him, and we do have a much better team. And that Florida, I mean, we always talk about Texas back is, you know, the U back and all that. Maybe Florida has an opportunity. Now, their schedule is, it is tough.
I saw a metric. They had the hardest schedule last year in the country. They have the hardest schedule in the country this year. The number one hardest. So that's the problem. And they have to, this year in their home and home, they go to Miami. EJ, shout out. It is going to be, even if he's good, that's the other question. Billy Napier, like hot seat, right? That's the first one. Like he's got to prove a lot. So the situation is not quite like Arch.
Well, he got himself off the hot seat because Lagway played so well, right?
He kept his job for 1 year.
Right, because he was the guy who brought in Lagway. Lagway showed almost all this promise. You know, Ole Miss, that game where they basically snuffed out Ole Miss's chance of getting to the college football playoff. He played really well in that game. And I think that it was like, all right, well, if he's tied to Billy Napier, then we can't just fire the coach because we're worried he's going to transfer out.
Absolutely. But you know what? If they disappoint this year, then he will transfer out, right? Because they're going to have to fire Napier.
So funny enough, I believe the Heisman frontrunner is still Drew Aller from Penn State.
I thought it was Arch. Is it?
But Arch, would that be because people think he's really the best quarterback or because he also is a flashy name to bet on, like casual fans will understand. It's like how the Lakers sometimes or the Yankees get these inflated odds.
That being said, like Arch is no joke either. Like he could be amazing, right? I see what you're saying. When I make a Heisman bet, I want like a little upside. Like we know what Drew Aller is. You want the new guy, Lagway or Arch Manning.
Yeah, I see Arch Manning as a favorite.
Right? Okay, so is and Drew Aller at one point was the Heisman favorite, but that's fine. Arch, that makes a lot of sense. But you don't want to be the Heisman favorite now. That's always a recipe for disaster.
Right? You said it perfectly. Like the Heisman, the odds are based on buzz, which is not just who's the best proven player.
If I were to ask you, who do you think will have the best season? Who do you think is the best quarterback in the SEC? Maybe have the best season is a little different, counting stats, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But who do you think is the most talented quarterback in the
Lagway,
SEC?
Oh, Lagway, definitely. I mean, Lagway is a sure thing. Like, he's like, I'm not going to say Trevor Lawrence because that was the ultimate sure thing, but he's a hair below that. Like, he's definitely going to be a top five pick. And I'm kind of looking at NFL skills. I just don't know about Florida because they have this brutal SEC schedule. They just don't get a break. I've seen them in rankings around 10. I worry about the team. No worries about the quarterback. How about you?
So I'm actually going to go with someone a little bit off the board as far as the person I think who's going to be on the true rocket ship, the person who is going to become a household name. And I just don't know, like you, is the team good enough to put him in the Heisman race? And it's Austin Simmons from Ole Miss. So this is a guy who came in last year when Jackson Dart, who would become a first-round quarterback for Manny's Giants, he got hurt in the game against Georgia. and had to leave for a series. And Austin Simmons came in and went 6-for-7 and led Ole Miss on a touchdown drive, and he looked spectacular. And then Jackson Dart came back in the game, and they won the game. It was a huge upset. Major feather in Lane Kiffin's cap to beat Georgia like that. And then Simmons was back on the bench. Austin Simmons, I think, is going to be someone who by the end of the year is going to New York. I don't know if he's going to win it. Again, because I don't know if Ole Miss is going to win enough games in the SEC. Their whole team basically turned over. But this kid is 19 years old, okay? I was reading up a little bit about his backstory, Pearl. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
His dad took him out of school when he was in sixth grade to start getting ready for his football career. He graduated high school. Again, he's being homeschooled this whole time. Graduated high school at, I think, 16 and has already graduated from college. He's already done. He's a sophomore. He's already taken the amount of credits. So he's just basically in grad or however they're doing this with the college system.
Wow.
He was available because of his unique schedule and not having to go to school and being homeschooled. He was available to be working out at this special gym that his dad had a connection to, where guys who were getting ready to prepare for the NFL draft, wide receivers, would come and work out, and he was the one throwing to them, because who can work out in the middle of the day on a Tuesday if you're a high school age student? He's like been perfectly groomed like a robot. They unfortunately, you know, kind of compare him to Todd Marinovich, which had this horrible ending. And Lane Kiffin said this is not for the way it turned out, but for the process. It's a very much like Todd Marinovich, who ended up, you know, being a very cautionary tale. But they've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
His entire life, he's been groomed for this. And I found that story kind of fascinating for just how extreme it feels. And now he's stepping into the starting spot at Ole Miss.
A couple questions.
Yeah.
I understand. Like, the upside is he just looks like a stud.
He's huge. Looks like Tua throws lefty.
But is he going to get a little system quarterback?
Lane, I think, obviously helps all quarterbacks. Tua, that didn't hurt him.
Well,
and some of the other Lane Kiffin
but
QBs.
Jackson Dart, I think, was kind of judged as like, oh, that's a Lane product.
Well, I don't know if Jackson Dart would have been a first-round pick if, A, the Giants hadn't been so desperate, and, two, this quarterback class was not very good this
year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Lane, I think Jackson Dart had no Heisman buzz, because I think they're like, oh, well, he's running the Lane offense, which is really quarterback-friendly. That's the other thing. But there's just so many Heisman invites coming out of the SEC. Like, you got to seriously consider Garrett Nussmeier. He's going to put up big numbers. You got to seriously consider Arch Manning. He's going to be on the best team in the country, arguably. You got to see John Mateer is just going to blow everybody away. The Washington State transfer, the next Cam Ward at Oklahoma. Like, I don't know, how are you going to like break into that group? And DJ Lagway, how many quarterbacks are going to New York? I mean, you can't discount. John Mateer is amazing. So like the whole thing is like, yeah, you're right. There's so many quarterbacks here, but he's going to have to beat Arch out. Like, Arch is on Texas.
Listen, we already said Arch, the expectations are so high for Arch Manning. It's almost like he's in an impossible situation if he doesn't have a perfect season. I don't think a lot of people
Lenora
know Sellers. About this guy.
Lenora Sellers, too, is a possible number one pick in the SEC. I people know him because that one drive.
Yep.
I just think, like, if you had to bet on somebody to go to New York, like, you can't ignore those other guys. It's almost like a logjam.
Keep the tape, Manny. Clip it. Keep the tape. Putting everything behind Austin Simmons.
Show bet that two SEC quarterbacks go and one of them is, and they're not Austin Simmons. You could be totally right. Like, I love it. But I think this is like,
this is
quarterback heaven right now.
I'm never eating that tuna fish jelly thing ever again. I just want to state that for the record.
Well, how about Mateer versus Simmons?
Okay. I mean, it's a pretty big step. It's a bit of a step up in weight class, you realize, even for Mateer, who's going to be going from Washington State now to the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware.
Okay. And I love it because we both love Jim Nagy.
Yeah.
More your friend, but I love him too. I've become friends with him by association with you. And he's the GM now at Oklahoma. So Brent Venables on the hot seat. No, but this is a big season for Oklahoma.
Yeah. No, I know. I just like something about this path of going from the transfer portal feels like. And by the way, Garrett Nussmeier, I was thinking about Garrett Nussmeier, like a Heisman favorite among a lot of people.
Yeah, a little older guy.
Doesn't he feel Bo Nix. Not because he plays like Bo Nix, but Bo Nix was kind of average, kind of a, and then boom, took off his senior year. I think that Garrett Nussmeier could also be huge. Like, this is crazy. If you actually sit and write the names of the quarterbacks down in the SEC, we were debating earlier in the week, ACC versus, it doesn't even seem like there's any conference that can compete with them. But maybe am I just overrating quarterbacks? Is that what's happening here?
Well, there are other guys who I think are going to be in the conversation for best college quarterback. So we mentioned Kay Klubnik, who's obviously in the ACC. Yeah. Drew Aller from Penn State. They actually have some good receivers now, which they really didn't last year. Sam Levitt, who took everyone by surprise last year with Arizona State. Kevin Jennings, who I know you love from SMU. And I'm seeing Josh Hoover is a guy who's getting a lot of buzz, at least from The Athletic.
That makes no sense.
He is ranked 9th in their quarterback rankings. Well, he's a quarterback from TCU.
But the difference is these SEC guys are, like you were mentioning Austin Simmons, you're describing an NFL player.
I am.
Whereas I don't think Hoover is in that conversation. He's tiny, I think. So generally, like, these are, we just named about 6 first round picks in the SEC talent wise. Drew Aller and Kay Klubnik fit that, but Sam Levitt, I'm not sure. This feels like the fact that Arch Manning is not clearly the top quarterback, that's crazy to me. He's going to be, first of all, he's going to be amazing. I think he's great. He can run. He's like Eli with wheels.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Who do you think is going to be the best quarterback in college football this upcoming season? Before we get to our nicknames, the Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest sports nickname of all time. We have another region to reveal and open the voting next. But Dave's in Seattle, wants to talk about Caitlin Clark, who unfortunately is not going to be participating in All-Star Weekend. What's up, Dave?
Hey, really enjoy your show, morning.
Thank you.
A couple quick thoughts for Caitlin. Stick with it. Your tide is going to raise a lot of ships. It's not your fault, Caitlin, that she's that you're blazing a trail through land and soil that is built on a lot of slavery and stolen land. Stick with it. Additionally, sometimes you guys talk about people being tall or short. And as that relates to Caitlin, I can say this. I'm 5'3" tall. It's easier for me to hide than it is for Caitlin to hide when she goes anywhere.
Dave, thank you. And appreciate, I'm sure Caitlin would appreciate that pep talk. We were talking about, that went an interesting direction. We're talking about her mental.
Yeah,
the mental side of not just being hurt, really for the first time in her career that she's missed games, but also the weight that's on her shoulders, because I was looking at some of the articles coming out and her coach and teammates were just only talking about her mental health and how, you know, if she can go outside for a few minutes and walk around, then that's a good day. And like just the expectations now that are on her. And don't forget, she already had a stalker that showed up to her house. And, you know, she's kind of going through it. And she's not the only one. We know Angel Reese also was getting death threats and people coming up to her and in person saying horrible things, but Caitlin obviously is, also dealing with the injury, which compounds things.
Well, I think that caller had a good point. She's 6'1", and we think she looks normal size on the WNBA court, if not smallish. In real life, if you probably saw a 6'1 person, it's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't hide. That's actually an interesting point. I also heard one thing I noticed. Like, I watched her last game. The shots she takes are really hard. Like, the defense is all over her. I heard the coach say, we have to scheme her open more. That's a big factor. Like, her shooting percentage is terrible. But she's trying to, go off 2 dribbles to the left and take a fadeaway 6 feet beyond the three-point line. I think the defense is way step up, and that's another problem. Actually, I think an issue, not forget the mental side, is she going to be able to keep this rocket ship going as a star? Is she going to be the best player? I feel like the public wants her to be, but man, it's not that easy.
No, we detailed, I think over her last 10 games, she's like shooting 26% from three. I mean, it's just been it's been a desert.
Her shot selection, it's not her fault either. Like, she's not getting good looks. The coach said that, like, we got to figure out a way, but I don't know. The problem is the defenses don't want to get beat by Caitlin Clark. I think that's all part of the mix.
888-710-4ISN. Let's get to the Maggie and Perloff greatest nickname in sports bracket.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Loving it so far. Loving it. Two regions opened for voting yesterday. We're about to open two more. And let's go with the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, Pearl. Greatest nickname of all time. The one seed in this region is Mean Joe Green.
Be around. That's the way it should be. I like to see
Thank you.
The whole world smiling with me. Coca-Cola has life. Have a clap.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Smile.
If you don't know that, that could... Maybe one of the top five most famous commercials of all time, event, not just sports, right? That was a, but thanks, Mean Joe.
That was Apple, right? That was an Apple commercial.
Yeah.
So happy.
But the funny thing, too, is like, if you watch NFL films, like, he was a psycho, Mean Joe Green. And then he came in this commercial and gave a Coke to a kid and changed everything.
The number one seed in this region, Mean Joe Green, this is a doozy, faces off against the 16 seed, Mr. Hockey, Gordy Howe. Okay, let's move on. The eighth seed in this region is the big unit. Randy Johnson, we're looking for the greatest nickname of all time. The 8-9 matchup, the ninth seed is the bus, Jerome Bettis.
Ooh, that's a good one. Iconic nicknames.
Very tough. Five seed in this region, sweetness, Walter Payton.
Once you put wisdom with will on top of talent, you get what you call sweetness.
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 Give to Payton and they give to Water again. Hurdles over the right side. Gets this for a touchdown.
The fifth seed, Sweetness, Walter Payton in the Maggie and Perloff nickname bracket, is up against the 12 seed, The Glove, Gary Payton, who's gotten also a lot of attention around this show.
Portland. We've got a lot of tweets about Sweetness.
We did.
Yeah, I got actually a mad note from a journalist in Chicago because I put out one bracket. And he's like, where's Sweetness? I'm like, this is one bracket.
Yeah, we got the other whole other side.
There's four regions, dude.
Corvallis. Hold on tight. The four seed in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region of the Maggie and Perloff nickname bracket is Iron Mike Tyson.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
The always understated Iron Mike Tyson is the four seed. The 13 seed that he'll be facing off against is the Admiral. Admiral. Hello. The Admiral David Robinson. Maybe one of the
Very
nicest.
Admirable.
Maybe one of the nicest guys in sports.
Yeah.
Going up against Mike Tyson, one of the most.
Yeah, that's an interesting battle right there.
Polarizing or whatever, ferocious guy. Okay, six seed in this region. Crazy Legs, Elroy Hirsch. Up against the 11 seed, the Rocket, Roger Clemens. Now, there's a couple Rockets.
Yeah.
We know Rocket Richard, but we went with Clemens.
Rocket Ishmael.
And that's 11. We could have gone
with Rocket. Baseball.
Yeah, I actually would say Rocket Ishmael because you don't know, I don't think people know his real name. It's Rahib, right? Like
the Rocket.
Yeah, because where Roger Clemens, to me, I don't know. That one, like, I saw the Rocket. Clemens doesn't immediately come to mind, but this is a strong trio right there. They might win the whole thing because that's three Hall of Famers, one college football.
Yeah, right. Who do you think of when you think of Rocket?
I think of Rocket Ishmael. Yeah,
I think
but also too, when I saw Rocket, Maurice Richard is.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think sometimes like I think it's actually Rocket Richard is the first person I think of.
That's what I saw.
Because I don't know if I knew his first name.
I don't. That's exactly why. Yeah,
that's funny. Okay, well let's move on. So it's Crazy Legs Hirsch against The Rocket, Roger
By the way,
Clemens.
Can I just make a pitch for Crazy? If you Google Crazy Legs Hirsch, watch this guy's highlights, and now you'll understand why they called him Crazy Legs.
Yeah.
Just this guy running along the sideline, his legs going everywhere, dominating. Elroy Hirsch, big-time Hall of Famer, great football player. I'm voting Crazy Legs. I'm putting him all the way through. I love that nickname.
College Football Hall of Fame and Pro Football Hall of Fame. The third seed in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region. We couldn't do it without the Intimidator. Dale Earnhardt Sr., 14 seed that he matches up against the Hitman, Thomas Hearns. Okay, let's keep going. 7 seed in this region, Smokin' Joe Frazier, an all-boxing matchup against the 10 seed, Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
Down goes Anderson!
So you got Smokin' Joe against Boom Boom Mancini. And finally, the two seed in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, the Minister of Defense, of course.
It began back in 85. In Philadelphia, White was a sack machine, the Minister of Defense. And on Sundays, his sermon never changed. The quest for the Super Bowl trophy.
We're going to make it. We're going to make it together. Father, I have an opportunity personally to finally win a championship. And we're on the road there. Thank you, Father.
Reggie White there with the Minister of Defense. Great, great copy that they wrote on that. Against the 15 seed, we could not do this bracket without He Hate Me, Rod Smart. Didn't actually have the career, really, of a lot of these guys, but Rod Smart, He Hate Me. We would just wouldn't have been able to forgive ourselves if we didn't put him in our best nicknames ever bracket.
Famous XFL.
For some reason, the powers that be have cut Perloff's mic. You got to stop saying bad things about management, Perl. Try it again. No, not back. All right, so we'll get that worked out. There you go. Voting now open for the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, the Maggie and Perloff nickname bracket. So go ahead at Maggie and Pearl on X and Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. You can see everything. The whole bracket is there. But now you can start voting on the Tough Guys and Enforcers. Okay, lots to do, including TJ Watt got paid. But what does it mean for Micah Parsons? Check in on the Dallas Cowboys next. It's MVP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, Maggie, explain to everybody why we were choosing to play the Cowboy Quickie music today.
Well, because TJ Watt signed an extension in Pittsburgh, and that's just another of these linebackers, pass rushers, who have gotten paid this offseason, and it's been a parade of them. It started with Max Crosby, got $36.5 million. Then Danielle Hunter of the Texans also got $35.5 million. Then Myles Garrett comes in with $40 million. Then TJ Watt now gets $41 million. We see where this trend is up, up, up. The Cowboys could have saved themselves some money. Stop me if you heard this before. Could have likely saved some money if they had just gotten a deal with Micah Parsons done sooner, but yet they drag their feet once again. Another of these big linebackers comes off the board with a big money contract, and I don't know how close Parsons and the Joneses are on this, contract.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons is probably asking for more money than TJ Watt took, right? Because, and I'm only saying that because Micah Parsons is much younger than TJ Watt, so he's probably asking Jerry Jones for more money than TJ. He probably would not have taken the TJ Watt deal. That's what I'm going to imagine. He probably wants, he's like, I'm 26. TJ Watt probably took a skunch of a discount because he knows, as far as like the length of the deal, because he knows, listen, I'm 30. I'm not going to be here for 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. I think Micah Parsons, if the Cowboys had come in yesterday before TJ Watt signed and said, we'll give you this contract, I don't think Micah Parsons takes it. So he can give them a little bit of a break on that.
Maybe.
He probably is asking for the moon.
But there's more guys who still have to sign. Like, this could keep going up. Aiden Hutchinson can sign if he wants. He's come off injury, so it's a little different. And Trey Hendrickson obviously is very upset. Now he's a little bit older.
Trey Hendrickson's not getting that money.
No, probably not. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you have this, like, offseason where you know it's kind of going to be the offseason of pass rushing contracts. Like, last year felt like it was about wide receiver contracts. And now you're just kind of dragging your feet. I don't know how far apart they are. And Jerry Jones has this, like, kind of becoming famous now, saying of, I'd rather spend more money and be right than spend less money and be wrong. And like, it's just one of those Jerryisms that I don't really understand. But,
well, I mean, I think Jerry's taking a lot of heat for this one. But the reality is, I'll bet you Micah is going in there asking for 45 or something crazy.
Well, they already came out and said, we're going to make them the highest paid non-quarterback. Yeah. So they've painted themselves in a bit of a corner now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, of course it's a mistake. It's team building. But that being said, I don't think it's quite as easy as everyone says. I'll bet you he's really asking for a lot of money. And you know it's going to get done on August 26th anyway.
No, when's their season starts September 4th. I think it probably gets done on like September 3rd.
Well, it's that early year. Okay. Well, I was just, because it's an early start to the season.
Yeah.
I think usually like the last day of August is their sweet spot. When did they sign CD? Was it?
Well, they signed Dak the day of the game.
Yep.
That's your Cowboy Quickie. the day of the opener against the Browns, right, is when they finally came through with the Dak contract. And that's the one you really regret,
yeah.
Because it's $60 million. That could have gotten taken care of a lot.
Last year they did CD on August 26th. So I feel we're nitpicking. The point is he'll do it way too late.
Well, and he's going to go to Oxnard, he said. He's already got his house rented and all that, but he's likely not going to participate in anything.
Did Lamb practice last year?
No. He was away from the team, too. He was in Florida, I believe, while they were all in Dallas/Oxnard. So Micah said he's going to go to training camp, but why would you suit up? That'd be so silly. Anyone who's around him at that time who tells him to participate should be fired immediately.
If that's the case, then he can't hold out till September 2nd if he's not practicing at all. Because that'd be rough.
I'm just saying, we see hold-ins all the time. It'd be like a hold-in.
Till September 3rd?
Well, that's the Cowboys' fault, too.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think Micah Parsons doesn't want to do that either. He doesn't want to have no camp and then just fly out there in week one.
888-710-4ISN. Open up the season against your Eagles. 888-710-4476. So that's just a little of what's going on around the NFL. Peter Schwartz in today to get us caught up on everything else.
Oh, good morning. And who says you can't go home again? 9-time NBA All-Star Damian Lillard has reportedly agreed to a 3-year, $42 million deal to come back to the Blazers. The deal includes a player option for 27-28, a no-trade clause. Lillard will use the upcoming season to rehab his Achilles injury. He spent 11 seasons with the Blazers before being traded to the Bucks in 2023. WNBA, more than 40 players, including Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, and Angel Reese, on hand yesterday for a meeting with the Players Association and the league to discuss a new CBA. It was the first in-person meeting since December. It lasted couple hours. It ended without a new deal. Speaking of Caitlin Clark, she will not participate in the All-Star festivities this weekend in Indiana. She's dealing with a right groin injury. Here's Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham on Life of the Fever without Caitlin Clark.
We'd love to have her. I think we all know that when she's playing, it's a whole different team. And then when she's not playing, we're a whole nother squad. So it's adjusting, but I think that we've seen both sides and we're confident in both sides.
And without her, they got wiped out by the Liberty the other night in Brooklyn. Fever head coach Fever head coach Stephanie White said Clark is day-to-day. Now to football. NFLPA executive director Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned late last night after a 2-year run as leader of the union. There have been some reports that the FBI was investigating the financial dealings of both the NFLPA and the Major League Baseball Players Association. It's related to a multi-billion-dollar group licensing firm. Howell said it's clear his leadership has become a major distraction.
Yeah, it's funny because we don't talk about the baseball side of this, but during the All-Star break, Tony Clark, who's the head of the MLB Players Union, he's been in that role for a long time. Even he would not confirm or deny whether he's being investigated by the FBI. That is never a position you want to be in. Because if I'm not being investigated by the FBI, I'm shouting that from the rooftop. So I don't ever want that to be a no comment.
Howell hopes his resignation will allow the Players Association to maintain its focus on its player members ahead of the upcoming season. Also from the NFL, the Steelers reportedly make linebacker T.J. Watt the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. It's a whopping 3-year, $123 million deal that includes $108 million fully guaranteed at signing. It's an annual average value of $41 million a year. He leads the NFL over the last five seasons with 73.5 sacks. So a lot of big bucks there for TJ Watt. Veteran wide receiver Mike Williams had returned to the Chargers back in March, but he announced his retirement yesterday after eight NFL seasons with the Bolts, the Jets, and the Steelers.
Did you hear the thing about Justin Herbert? I just want to double check this because I'd heard it, but I never. He's wearing new contact lenses that are going to work as sunglasses. His vision is fine.
Yeah, the UV protected. I did see that. I actually, but there's also another headline, by the way. Did you see that Justin Herbert wore special contacts and made him look like a vampire? I don't know if that was true. Him and his friend went out to the bar with that. I swear to God, I might have gotten the two headlines confused.
So apparently, according to Chris Rim of ESPN, it's Herbert's choice of contact lenses that are responsible for that noticeable change. There's a His blue eyes were red, like you said about a vampire.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
and
this
he
actually
have to
had a real
squint as much.
So him and Dicker the Kicker went out to the bars.
Look out, ladies.
Justin Herbert and Cameron Dicker out in the bars of L.A.?
It was dinner. Cameron Dicker told Colin Cowherd, "We look like we were vampires," Dicker said, adding that initially people didn't recognize him. We were like, this is incredible. So they had red. I don't know why they're wearing them indoors, but apparently these make you look amazing.
Wow. Maybe I'll
I didn't know there was an actual reason for it. I thought they just were like dressing up like Halloween and going out to a... Because I saw that headline first.
That would really confuse people, although I did see my first Halloween decorations because I had to go to Home Goods the other day.
Why? Do you think, by the way, do you think he would recognize 6'6" Justin Herbert in a bar if he had different contacts on?
No.
Like Cameron Dicker's like, people didn't recognize him. That's what he said.
It's not exactly a wig and glasses.
Yeah,
I know. Still... Justin Herbert.
Yeah, this gigantic man.
So I guess he's not really into wearing a visor. He doesn't want to do that. And he began wearing prescription contacts for sensitive eyes.
No drip.
And expects to wear them all season long.
What do you mean you don't like wearing a visor?
He also doesn't know if it's actually within the league rules to do this. But
QBs who wear visors are so cool. Justin Herbert just became very uncool.
Michael Vick is the one I'm thinking of, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'll find out soon enough if it's illegal or not.
I'm like 75% sure the reason why Zach Wilson sucked in the NFL because he didn't wear his visor like
that's
he did in college.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good point.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
It looks like he couldn't see the broad side
of a
bar.
It's a marketing thing. A lot of quarterbacks that wore visors in college don't wear them in the NFL, and it annoys the hell out of me.
I think Jalen Hurts has a visor. He looks good.
Yeah, he looks great. That's why he's a Super Bowl champion.
What are you guys talking about? Like
quarterbacks
when?
You
mean
wear visors? No, during the game.
Quarterback drip. We're talking about quarterback drip.
On the sideline, you're talking about.
No, playing.
No, on the helmet.
You're talking about like a visor, like the hat that has the thing.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh. Bro.
Oh, you're talking about.
No, not a Doug Peterson.
I never. Okay.
Visor.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I thought you guys were talking about Doug Peterson visors. That's exactly.
Yeah, why does he wear that Phil Mickelson visor when he's out there taking snaps on third and long?
Because, you know what? I'm in training camp mode and, you know, you're hanging out a lot in the sun. I thought you guys were talking about visors. I'm so sorry.
Who wears a visor in 2025?
Steve Spurrier.
Oh, no. NFL guys at camp wear a lot of visors.
That's a thing.
Okay.
Lane
Spike
Kiffin.
Eskin,
but now they all wear
under the age of 40.
Now they wear bucket hats, right?
Yeah, bucket hats a thing.
Or, but quarterbacks famously wear the golf visors, too. Doug Peterson, like, that's a quarterback thing, too. They all wear visors.
Again, Doug Peterson was a quarterback in the NFL like 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Visors I don't think guys cool. wear
the visors
now.
Have had a comeback, I thought.
Visors
cool
were
visors.
In for like 6 months, and then they're back out. Nobody wears visors
oh,
anymore.
They were, but they were.
They had a quick little six-month stretch where they just were playing good baseball.
Dude, I think a lot of bros wear visors.
I think you're wrong, bro.
No, I mean...
Cool question, EJ.
When was the flurry of visors?
If I had to guesstimate, 2019.
Something like that. Pre-pandemic.
Oh, definitely pre-pandemic. Indubitably.
Anyway... The actual visors like that Michael Vick wore.
Yeah, the ones that matter.
Those are cool.
Yeah. No, I don't understand. I think it'd be really hard to see out of those things. I always thought, like, God, it's hard enough to see out of a helmet. When you run in a helmet, it's like, I don't understand how, I would be like Justin Herbert. I do not want that interference.
But if you're squinting all the time, you know, it'd be
relief.
Yeah,
but you don't know what, it looks clearer looking out of it than it does in, like, it looks like Darth Vader from the outside, but it's kind of like tinted windows on your car. You could see out of them fine. It's,
or
people
sunglasses.
Can't
Are they, aren't they just basically football sunglasses?
Lamar Jackson wears a visor, multiple-time MVP.
Look at that.
That's true.
Josh Allen, get a visor.
Well, the sun doesn't shine in Buffalo, so it doesn't have to worry about it.
You can get a clear one.
I can say that because I'm from up there.
If the CEO had worn a visor, nobody would have recognized
him. Oh, the CEO getting more strays. The guy who got caught with the woman at the Coldplay concert.
Bro, what are you doing here?
No, what's wore a visor? Cole Brennan, Hawaii legend. Most touchdowns ever thrown in the season. Wore a visor. Just saying.
And you'd need that if you're the quarterback for Hawaii. Not so much when you're the quarterback for Buffalo.
But again.
Hey, he was playing a lot of night games, and he was still wearing the visor.
Well, again, Cole Brennan was a quarterback in 2007, guys.
No, I mean the visor, not the...
Okay. Thank God.
Oh, come on. We're on the same page here.
The only show in the history of the world to ever get these two visors confused. What else you got, Peter?
Your bills, reach agreement.
But I have to say right now, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience are right with me on this one.
No, they could pick up the context clues when we're talking about Justin Herbert wearing contact lenses when I said that he doesn't want to wear the tinted visor was untenable.
I didn't hear tinted, sorry.
Your Bills reach agreement with second-round pick T.J. Sanders on a four-year deal worth over $10 million.
Yep.
By the way, I would have gone with this headline if I were you. I find this totally fascinating. This is a kind of a dad joke. But have you guys seen Harris English is making a big run at the Open?
I did see that.
He's an American named Harris English who could win the British Open. Is anybody with me in how amazing that would be?
But it's
a guy named English winning the British Open, and he's not even from there.
Are you fond of that?
Nobody?
Sure. I guess.
Gio was excited with me this morning from Boomer and Gio. This would be, wait, if he somehow, he's right now fourth in the lead, if he somehow came away with this, oh my God, they would be dad jokes.
He's 5-under, tied with Tyrrell Hatton at 5-under, Brian Harman and Rasmus Højgaard, 6-under.
A guy named Harris English winning the British Open? Nobody? This doesn't do anything for any of you guys? Nothing?
Not really. Is this like someone named like Bill Augusta winning the PGA?
Well, that would be even more amazing.
Yeah.
That should be interesting.
No. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like a guy, what if a guy named Larry Wimbledon won Wimbledon and he's not even English? Yeah, okay, fine. I'll be alone on this island.
You could be alone. That's it.
Put any money down on him?
No.
I love betting on golf.
Yeah, I don't know. The Open Championships was so wild. Like any rando could win this thing.
How come they don't call it the British Open anymore?
Because it's not always in Great Britain, right?
But it used to be always called the British Open,
maybe,
right?
It is always in Great Britain. I have to double check, I guess. It was always the British Open. I have no idea.
Yeah. Why?
I think it's always been called the Open Championship, and we just called it
the British Open. No, but then people told us to stop calling it the British Open.
Yeah, it used to be the British Open.
Oh, okay. I thought they always called it Open Championship.
Is there any chance that Brexit has a part into the removal of British Open?
It's either...
Because sometimes it's not in England. Sometimes it's in other parts of
Great Britain is more than just England, but... Either Manny, you are either 100% right or 100% wrong.
I think I'm 100% right.
I think they've always called it, my sense is they've always called it the Open Championship there, and we've always called it the British Open to make it clear that it wasn't the U.S. Open. But Manny, what you're saying is they changed the name in a way. I don't think you're right on that one.
I bet I am.
I'm going to research that.
I'm trying to do it now, but I'm only getting an AI overview, and I don't trust that at all.
AI overview yesterday told us, who's Gary Payton's son?
Jared Payton.
Miami Hurricane, great, yeah. By the way.
Walter, AI overview told us Gary Payton was the father of Jared Payton, which is not true.
I woke up in the middle of the night with a little bit of panic. What if Gary does have a son named Jared? Because it's not that crazy of a name.
No, but he's got his son, Gary Payton II. We know him.
I actually looked it up this morning. He's got, I think, 4 kids. None of them are named Jared that I could find.
Phew.
No, I told him, I'm like, well, what if I came after AI and I was wrong? That'd be bad.
It's going to come after you. That's when things would get interesting.
According to Britannica, it looks like it was always the Open Championship.
Okay, yeah. We put British on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
British Open is widely understood and accepted terms for the tournament.
I don't know. Brexit still has something to do with it. I don't trust your sources.
Let's talk a little about the Chiefs, shall we? We'll do that next because we got a little clarity on what is the future for Rashi Rice, the legal future. We'll do that next. Found out today that men can't admit they like Coldplay, according to Perloff.
Some men can. I mean, that's an old joke, right? Like, you saw the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Yeah, but also, too, like, there's something about Coldplay. Chris Martin, the lead singer, was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. It's not like punk
masculine
rock. Yeah, enough? It's not like, or, you know.
Like going to see Metallica?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It, well, like, you don't have to lean into those take Metallica gender stereotypes.
You know what I mean. Back in my day, like it was like sort of post-punk rock, like hard rock. Like Coldplay is not that.
Okay, so we had a former boss, Spike Eskin. We talk about him a lot on the show because he's a good friend too. He's now doing afternoons in WIP in Philadelphia.
I've never seen the true face of a coward.
Yeah, that's something Spike would say. He and another guy friend went to go see John Mayer together.
Yeah, well, John Mayer's popular because of the connection to the Grateful Dead.
Right. This was not a Dead show, though. This was John Mayer had an album out.
But the funny thing is, Spike is
he didn't care.
Spike Eskin is a huge Limp Bizkit fan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever see have you ever seen the documentary on the 1999 Woodstock?
I have.
Was the ultimate. It was Tool and Limp Bizkit. It was the ultimate sort of young male concert. It kind of went awry.
It devolved into chaos.
Like, I couldn't picture that audience like in Coldplay. That's what I'm talking about. Like, a young...
What about John Mayer? Because he's kind of...
Definitely not.
The Grateful Dead part of it for John Mayer. Yeah. But he's like a chick, you know, he's like doing the love songs and all that.
Yeah, and he's famously dating beautiful women.
Sure.
No.
But I think it's also when it comes to music, can't you just like who you like?
Not really. No, you have to. I was recently read a book about the Beastie Boys, right?
Yep.
And the lead singer loved the band Psychedelic Furs, who wrote the song Pretty in Pink. Okay. You know that one? From the movie Pretty in Pink. And he's like, I couldn't listen to it in public. I had to listen to because none of my guy friends could know I was listening to the Psychedelic Furs. And that was a pretty hardcore band. And he's like, that's just not hard enough.
Okay. So, you know what? You're giving me a little more appreciation then for Kirk Cousins. And I don't generally say that kind of thing, but we are watching this show Quarterback on Netflix, and Kirk Cousins and his brother unapologetically belting out Cher.
Whoa, that was the whole point. Like, that was the whole point of the Kirk Cousins sketch. That was all manufactured to prove, like, hey, I like these bands and no man would admit to liking. Right.
Right.
Guys, please stop. Yeah, me too, girl. I said the exact same thing.
The kid was like, please stop. Every kid wants their parents to stop singing.
He was talking about White Girl Wednesday.
Madonna.
Celine Dion.
Katy Perry.
Yeah,
stuff
that
like
was
that.
A bit. And obviously, no, like.
I don't think it's a bit.
No, I think that's Kirk Cousins. I think what Kirk Cousins is listening to on a daily basis.
But the documentary.
Knew every word. They were getting into like the third verse of Cher's Do You Believe in Life After Love?
Yeah. Right, but the documentary kept coming back to Kirk Cousins liking corny music. There was at least six different scenes
That's fine, but I don't think you and I are.
No, it's not a bit. He's genuinely like that.
I don't think it's a bit.
But the documentary focused more on Kirk Cousins' musical taste. Like whenever some bad song came over at training camp, the cameras ran over Kirk, pretend to love this or whatever. You don't think that was kind of manufactured?
I don't think they'd egg him on. I think he listens to Cher.
Oh, he definitely does, but
right. So at least he can admit it to an audience of millions.
If you were single again, way back in the day, and you were in a bar and you were hanging out at a jukebox with a guy, and he's like, "Well, let's play Coldplay," you wouldn't judge him for that?
No,
that's the kind of girl. That's the kind of music you play for a girl.
Yeah.
That's not the music I play for you. If I was hanging out with you at the bar, I'm not going to play Coldplay.
If you and EJ were hanging around the jukebox.
If I was hanging out with, Andrea doesn't, I don't think she cares about Coldplay, but if I was playing, we're in the car with Andrea, I would throw on Coldplay.
Give me, EJ, help me out. What's the rap version of this? Who's the pop, rap version you wouldn't want to, admit to listening to growing up?
Pitbull?
I'm a nation.
Or he's saying Drake. There's a lot of people who like Drake. A Pitbull, there was a time, Will Smith post Fresh Prince era.
Mm.
Got it. Right.
Yeah, that's a big one. If you're saying,
poppy, it's clean.
Yeah,
it's,
I unironically listen to Will Smith.
Yeah, if you went to your friend and said, "Let's get jiggy with it," he would look at you sideways. Yeah.
Let's throw on that Millennium album.
No. Yeah. Exactly. But actually, I would say Will.
Jiggy with it. It did not age well. It's a time capsule to say that.
Will Smith's closer to Celine Dion than Coldplay. I'm sorry. He was got really poppy. He was already a massive movie star when he came out with half these songs.
Yeah, throwing on Wild Wild West.
Well, that was a theme song for a movie, right?
Yeah, it was his album, too.
Early Will Smith with DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Fresh Prince, you're good. If you're playing Will Smith, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's perfect.
Playing Summertime, that's a great song.
By the way, he does a couple TikToks now. That guy can dance, though.
Will's obviously.
Yeah,
he's everything. He's a quadruple threat. It's just also a threat to Chris Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, the story ain't... Yeah, if you don't mention Chris Rock and the Will Smith discussion, then you're not right.
Guy could win a million Oscars from now to Kingdom Come. It will be the first line.
Yep.
He slapped that guy in the face. We all watched it. Okay. Greatest nicknames in sports. Let's go.